All right, take your Bibles if you have them, please, and find, if you would, the sixth chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number six will be our text this morning. So we are continuing now our series through this wonderful book. We are focusing our attention on this experiment that Solomon did in his life that has been recorded by the Spirit of God for our benefit. We have entitled the series in the part here entitled When Worlds Collide. Basically, what you have here is you have a man who undertook an experiment that I think is still much going on in the world today as people are trying to find out, is there life, is there meaning, is there value to life apart from God? And you have a lot of folks that do not know the Lord, do not know His Word, do not know the foundation of the gospel, that do not have what maybe you and I have, and they're trying to understand and figure out life. It doesn't take long to live upon the earth to find that life is very complex. Life is not simple. It's difficult. Life is ranging in its emotions. Life can have great moments of happiness, and then it can have devastating moments as we understand and make our way through life. That's why I'm glad for the Lord, and I'm glad for His Word. If you are, would you say amen? I got saved early in life. I got saved as a little boy, and I had the wonderful privilege of growing up in my life under the authority of God's Word. I was taught early in life the purpose of life. I was taught early in life the truth about life as it's found in the Word of God. And some of you understand that. Some of you were saved as children like I was. Some of you were saved as adults, teenagers, college-age young people, and you had a little bit more of life under your belt than what I had. And when you look at your life prior to Christ and you look at your life after Christ, there is understanding that comes. There is a sanity, a spiritual sanity that develops in our hearts and in our minds. And we begin to learn the truth. And my friend, you may be visiting with us today, or you may have been attending for a long time. And let me just say this, if you're looking for truth, truth is found in the Word of God. The Bible is truth. The Lord Jesus is truth. And so Solomon, the wealthiest and wisest man to ever live, began an experiment. And he tried to find profit in life from a pure human perspective. And he entitled his perspective with the words, "Under the Sun." And so he had no openness to truth from above the sun. That would be where God would be. And he tried to analyze and answer and respond to life purely from a human perspective. He described the end when it was all over as that being an approach of vanity, futility, and emptiness. And Solomon got to the place where he understood that life needs God. Your life needs God. And we have a world today trying to figure out a direction and denying the Lord. And you wonder why our world is so messed up. It's because it doesn't want to do what God wants it to do. And so as we've made our way to the sixth chapter of this book, Solomon's got a point that's very challenging. It's very practical. I believe you'll find application for your own heart and your own life. And I've asked God to help me preach this tenderly, and yet that it would strike home and burn upon your heart. Verse number one, Solomon says, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men." And so Solomon is letting us know in his observations in this experiment that he has seen an evil. And he has seen an evil, and in noticing this evil and its effect upon him, he has noticed that this evil is more common than what he could ever imagine. He begins to describe the evil in verse number 2. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is what class? Vanity. And it is an evil disease. I believe I can show you in a few moments that Solomon is making this statement and this assumption at a specific time in his life. Somebody close to Solomon or somebody that he knew and respected, I believe, has died. I believe that this man is very wealthy and very accomplished as what the world would see. And I think that it is based off of this man's burial that Solomon is able to make some of these assumptions here as he's putting together his experiment. And so he says, we have a man here who was able to amass and attain to himself everything that his heart would desire. So much did God give to this man and bless this man with. And let me just put a parenthesis right here. God not only blesses the Christian, God blesses all people with what they have. Okay, so if you're here and you're a Christian, it's very easy for us to say, to God be the glory for all the things that God has given to us. But understand, God gives good gifts to all people. The very fact that you have life is a gift from God. Amen. The very fact that the sun rises upon us is a gift from God. The very fact that you have clothes on your body today, God gave you those clothes. The very fact that you have breath in your body, God gave it to you. The very fact that your brain works, your fingers work, your toes work, God did that. Every penny you have that you would assume belongs to you, God gave to you. The home you live in is because God allowed you to. The car you drive is because God gave you the car. Everything we have in our life that is provided for us is God has provided those things for us. Our God is good. Okay? Now, not everybody recognizes that. And not everybody offers God worship and praise and thanksgiving for that. Some people think, well, I did this or I earned it. The truth is, if it wasn't God's blessing upon you, you and I wouldn't even exist. And so here is a man that God has blessed. And God has given him all that he desires. He has more than he could ever want. But there is a problem. He was never able to enjoy what God gave him. And so even though he had all of these things, and he had all of this wealth, and he had all of this honor, he lives his life without ever enjoying life. And you know, I told the church or the class at 8:30, one of the things that I am recognizing is how much people don't enjoy their lives. And the emotional damage that does in a person's heart and in a person's mind, there is no reason for anyone, let alone a Christian, not to enjoy our life. And so God has given this man much, but the man never enjoyed what God gave to him. And Solomon said, as I look upon the world and I'm looking upon society, he's saying, I'm seeing people that have things, but they're not happy. They have what they desired. They got the job they always wanted. They got the house they always dreamed of. They've got all the cars. They've reached the position. They've got this and all that. But but they're not able to enjoy that. I tell you that I believe that Solomon is looking at this from a funeral perspective, because in verses 3 to 6, Solomon gives an example of this man. And I think he exaggerates the example to get our attention, but here's the truth of this. In verse number 3, if a man beget 100 children, oh my, and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his, what class? Soul, circle, highlight, underline, and his soul be not filled with, what's that word? Good. And also that he have no burial. Why would that be there? I'll show you in a moment. I say that an untimely birth is better than he. Now, an untimely birth, Pastor, does that mean premature? No, that means stillborn. Solomon says at the end of verse number 3, that if a man begat 100 children and he lived many years, but he never knew good in his soul, it would be better that he never was born. Verse number 4. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun. He never had any enjoyment, nor known anything that this hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice, I don't even want to sign up for that, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to, what are those two words? One place. Okay, so stay with me. I got to be a little bit tender here. I got to build you a little bit of setting. Don't lose me. Solomon has analyzed life from a human perspective. And he's found that there's vanity everywhere just in a human perspective without God. And he sees this evil and he notices that it's more common than anything. And he calls it a disease. And the evil is that God blesses a man with life. And God blesses a man with things in his life. But that man is never able to enjoy the things of his life. And Solomon says that I'm watching a world driven to find and live the good life. And he says, as they find and as they live the so-called good life, the title to my message, I'm finding that it's not so much a good life as it is a vain life. And we have people today in our world that are searching for the good life. You hear it in our movies. You hear it in the commercials. You hear it in the advertisement of a product. You hear it in the themes of our youth, that we're looking for the good life. And somehow, people think that when they find the good life, they're going to find purpose, they're going to find meaning, they're going to find blessing, they're going to find satisfaction, they're going to find all the... Somewhere out there is a good life that's going to make me happy. And so Solomon has watched this man, whom I think he respected, and I think whom he understood, because Solomon was probably the only one at his burial. And Solomon says, I've watched this man amass these things. He never enjoyed these things. He quote unquote lived what we would call the good life. And then he died a fool. He died a fool. And Solomon said that when he died, nobody buried him. By the way, just a question for you. When you die, who's going to bury you? My kids are. Are you sure about that? You know, it's funny. It's getting to the point a little bit where sometimes our church family is the only people that care for dead. So So here's what this man did. He was so driven to find the good life and live the good life that he destroyed his family. He destroyed all of his relationships. He had nobody to love and nobody to love him. And not only did he destroy his relationships, he didn't even know any good in his soul. He didn't know any satisfaction. Luke chapter 12, verse number 15, just write it down. I'll tell you what Jesus said here. Jesus says this, that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the possession of things. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the possession of things. Now, this man had everything that you could possibly want, and he was never able to enjoy it. A stranger ended up enjoying that. In search of everything that this man wanted in living the so-called good life, he died alone. He died in misery. He died with nobody to love him and nobody to bury him. And not only that, he didn't know any good in his life. Two things you need to understand. You were created body, soul, and spirit. Please understand this. This will help you understand you. Okay, you are not your body. And everybody ought to say, thank you, God. Okay, you have a soul. That soul is you. Your soul is the thing, is the part of you that people fall in love with, the part of you that people get to know. That's your personality. That's your mind, your emotion, your will. That's who you are as a human. Now you have a spirit, and the spirit is what communicates to God, and that's why you have to be born again, so there's able that communication. You have a body that your soul and your spirit lives in, but your soul is you. Your soul is that part of you that ranges in its emotion. That part of you that can be joyful, that part of you that can know sorrow, that part of you that can know excitement, that part of you that can know boredom. David said, why is my soul cast down? He knew discouragement. He knew depression. And he would say, hope thou in God. And David found himself constantly dealing with the uproar of his soul. And I really believe that there is a cry in our world today that is crying forth from the people's souls that do not know the Lord, and sin has such an oppression on that, and our world is groaning in their soul because they lack satisfaction. It lacks peace. And so Solomon said, from a completely world perspective, the way that people try to quiet that soul and the crying out of their soul is they try to do it with the abundance of things. And Solomon said they search for this good life somewhere. And when they find this good life, it had better that they'd never been born. Wow. And so in our that soul that knoweth no good, it knows no satisfaction in that part. And by the way, the only person that can satisfy your soul is Jesus Christ. You think about our world today. You think about what they're trying, how they're trying to quiet their soul. Solomon said in verse number 6, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. What's that one place? It's death. Now, I don't want to be morbid here, but I want to be truthful. You're going to die. And I'm going to die. Pastor, I hope you go first. Sometimes I feel that way about people too. And so, I want to say this. In a moment, I'm going to show you. You're going to be dead before you know it. Now, here's what Solomon is doing. He's exaggerating. He's got a man here who chased the good life. And he had everything that should have been brought goodness to him, but his soul knew no goodness. And before he knew it, he was dead. And Solomon is there at the burial, and there's nobody else around. And Solomon says, what happened here? What happened here? It goes quick. So when Solomon's trying to tell us, he says, listen, if you live many years, live two lifetimes, 1,000 years, but you don't know satisfaction in your soul, you lived a vain life. Hallelujah. I know satisfaction in my soul because Jesus is in my heart. But so many people chase the good life. Is that you? Are you chasing the good life? Are you trying to quiet the outcry of your soul by stuffing it with things? Well, Pastor, is it wrong to have drive or vision? Is it wrong to have things? No. Look at verse number 7. This man was driven by something that is wrong. If you look at verse number 7. All the labor of man is for his what? His mouth. And yet, the appetite is not what, class? It's not filled. It's not filled. So Solomon says here, this man in his search for the good life, who never found the good life, because the good life is only provided through the Lord, it's not provided in the abundance of things, this man was driven by his appetite. This man was driven through covetousness. This man was driven falsely. He never knew contentment. He never knew peace. He never knew settling. He never was able to reckon what he had came from God, and therefore to entrust it and to enjoy it. In the same way that our physical appetite, oh, it can be suppressed or it can be settled for a little moment, but then it comes roaring back. This man's appetite for the good life, this man's appetite for things kept roaring back. And in some ways, he was a slave to covetousness. He was a slave to his sinful appetite. Pastor, is it wrong to have things? No. Is it wrong to work hard? No. Is it wrong to have vision? And is it wrong to have drive? No. Is it wrong to want something better for my family? Is it wrong for these things? Are you telling me that it's wrong to amass things and have things? No, I'm not saying any of that. But here's what I'm saying. Everything that you and I have and that we amass ought to come from God and in His will. One thing that this man did that was evidence that his drive was wrong. Listen to me. I'm helping you with this. His relationships were destroyed. So every man in this room, listen to your pastor. You go out there and you work all you can. And you get all of the homes and the insurance and the financial policies. And you do everything you possibly can. And you drive and you work to amass and amass and amass and amass, and you have it, and that appetite is just vivacious in you. But if your relationships are not right, you're out of order. Amen, Pastor. So, sir, your relationship with God is primary. Then your relationship with your wife. No spouse ought to be rejected or given a back seat to your career, to your drive, to your amassing. After your Lord and your wife come your children. This man chased the good life that he had attributed to things that would make him happy. And at the end, his kids didn't care if he was alive or dead. That's right. and they didn't show up. They probably showed up for the will. But they didn't put him in the ground. Then you have your church family. Then you have the rest of your relationships. Pastor, am I out of order in the course of my life? You are, if you've got things over relationships. That's what this man did. Driven by his appetite, wanting that good life, and it destroyed him. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. Solomon said, or verse 8 says, "For what hath the wise more than the fool? Who hath the poor that, what hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living?" If you're going to live under the drive of your appetite, you're no better than the fool. The wise is no better than the fool. The poor is no better than the rich. Verse number 9 says, "Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit." Now, this is Solomon's little twist on a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. If you're under 80, you're like, what is that, huh? Excuse me? Give that to me again, Pastor. A bird in the hand is better to take than thinking you can catch two in the bush. Because if they're in the bush, they're not in your hand. Okay? So Solomon is looking at this man whose whole life his desire wandered. And he was always looking for what he did not have. And he was always thinking, what I do not have will bring me better than where I am. It will make me happier. It will bring to me the good life. And so, instead of this man recognizing the goodness of God in his life, instead of this man recognizing contentment in his soul, instead of this man being thankful for what God has done and surrendered and submitted to what the Lord wants to do, the desire was never checked. That desire that followed his appetite was never checked. And Solomon said, I have found that contentment and enjoying life, understanding what God has done, that is the way to go. He wasn't telling us it's wrong to dream, but he was simply telling us that satisfaction comes when we do the will of God from the heart. He was simply reminding us that God is the giver of good things. So I want you to find Psalms, if you would. Hold your hand, and we're coming back. Find Psalm 16. Look, if you would, at verse number 11. I hope this verse is part of your life. I hope this verse is part of your understanding. Verse number 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of what, class? Joy. At thy right hand there are, what's that word? Pleasures forevermore. And the psalmist was saying, listen, when it comes to life, God has the ability to direct your life. In the presence of God, there's joy. There's pleasures in serving the Lord and blessing in serving the Lord. And this man, from a human perspective, he tried to figure out life and goodness to his soul by living the so-called good life and amassing these things. And he just knew vanity drove everything away. There was no enjoyment to his life. And by the way, life is meant to be enjoyed. So how old are you? Think about it. You're guaranteed 70 years. Not guaranteed, but really the life, the The fullness of a man's life is found in 70 years. How close to 70 are you? 50%? Some of you are way past it. You know the blessing of God. But here's what I want to do before I make my conclusion. You're not supposed to be miserable your whole life. You're not supposed to be miserable your whole life. There is contentment. There's joy. There's pleasure. But it's not in the desire of a man that goes away from God. It's in the desire of a man that hopes in God. And God brings that to our lives. He brings purpose. He brings all these things to our enjoyment that our soul will know good. So many people try to find it without the Lord. When you come back to chapter 6 and you come to verses 10 to 12, Solomon makes a statement here that's for perspective under the sun. It's not a good statement per se, because it doesn't shine a very favorable light on the Lord, nor does it shine a very good truth on the Lord. But here's basically what Solomon says. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for a man in this life, all the days of his, what kind of life? Vain life. Which he spendeth as a what? Shadow. Speaking of this quickliness of it. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Now, here was Solomon's human perspective. Please, God, help me preach this point. In a human perspective, if money can't make you happy, then you are not going to be happy. So Solomon says, I've got a man here who lived his life chasing the good life. He had everything he could desire, yet he didn't know any satisfaction in his soul. So Solomon, in a human perspective, says, well, then satisfaction cannot be known. And Solomon says, well, then really and truthfully, if you can't be satisfied by attaining everything that there is to attain, then there is no such thing as satisfaction. And basically what he's saying then is life is just a prison. And you're going to live your life the exact way that God wants you to live it. So if God wants you to be miserable, you're going to be miserable. If God wants you to have this, then that's the way it's going to be. You can't contend or respond to God Almighty. And so basically what's going to happen is you're just going to live a vain life, and it's going to pass as a shadow, and nobody really knows. So just be miserable. And I think that our world has just resigned itself to being miserable. Have you ever met a miserable person? So let's drink ourselves out of our misery. Let's find a way to distract us of our misery. Let's just find a way to not have to deal with life. Because I found the good life and it didn't satisfy. My friend, why don't you try finding the good Lord? Because all he does is satisfies. And so I would answer Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, those are foolish words. I'll tell you who knows about my life. God knows about my life. I'll tell you this. My life is not vain. My life is hid with Christ in God. My life is in the Lord. My life doesn't have a vanity to it. My life is eternal. I don't walk around in some stupid circle miserable. I don't have to get myself out of my emotional state. I don't have to drink myself silly. I don't have to pump myself full of stuff. I serve a risen Savior who lives in my heart, who loves me and cares for me and provides for me. I can have all the money in the world, or I can have nothing. I can live in a big house, small house, drive fancy, drive not, have friends, not. I have the Lord. I don't mask my goodness in my soul to what I have. I know in my heart where the Lord lives. I know he speaks to me and ministers to me. I know there's purpose in my life, and I know that he holds me in my hand. I have the Word of God. Why would you live a vain life? We hold in our hands the powerful Word of God. Go find what the world says is good and live your so-called good life. Mm-mm. I want to live in the good Lord who brings to me his life, blesses my soul. Are you tired of being miserable? And find in your heart and in your mind the perfect will of God. Find contentment from knowing that God loves you and cares for you and will provide for you, has a plan for you and a purpose for you. Amass everything you have. Things cannot do what Christ can do for you. And God's people said, shall we pray?